Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Chip Tam and football. That's what Pittsburgh does. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Our guest this week is an old friend, former Post-Gazette sports writer, now doing all sorts of multimedia journalism at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Sarah Spencer. How's it going, Sarah?
I'm so good. I'm so excited to talk with you. This is such a blast from the past. But honestly, like, I still feel really connected to Pittsburgh. Like, I feel like it's where I started my career in so many ways. And then every single time a Georgia player heads up to Pennsylvania, like, I just feel like my either side of the state, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a lot lately.
Yeah, like my worlds just like continually collide, I feel.
Well,
so I'm excited.
A big feature on Charlie Morton, right? From Braves spring training, former Bucko.
Yes, that's another, I know, like that's another worlds colliding moment. That was such a cool thing too. Like that's actually the first time I did a little bit of Braves last season, but this season starting with spring training, I'm kind of going like full tilt into it. And oh my gosh, this is the first time I'd really talked to Charlie and it was awesome. So yeah, no, I know that story resonated with some folks in Pittsburgh too. And then I remembered that he had been in Pittsburgh for a while. So no, I just feel like my worlds are constantly colliding with Pittsburgh and Atlanta.
Well, if you're a Steelers fan, who's also a Pirates fan, you know, check out Charlie Morton feature from Sarah down and out at the AJC. And with the NFL Combine starting up today, we're trying to find some different angles to cover it. So we're going to have Sarah give us some insight on the bevy of Georgia Bulldogs out in Indy, as we know how much the Steelers have liked going to Athens the last couple years. And then we'll get her thoughts on the Arthur Smith era, such as it was too down there with the Falcons. But first, Pella, there's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella. They can help you save on your energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. So, Sarah, it's basically, I was looking at all the combine invites. It's like Kirby Smart's arc out there. Georgia's got two receivers, two O-linemen, two safeties, two running backs, which the Steelers aren't in the market for. Obviously the best tight end in the draft, but possibly a top 10 pick in Brock Bowers. But, you know, even a D-lineman and a cornerback, all of which could, you know, help fill a position of need for the Steelers in this draft. Let's start with the wideouts, because I feel like Ladd McConkey is a hot name right now in pre-draft circles, but they have another one there too, Marcus Rosemy Jackson. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
He could be a late-round sleeper. What can you tell us about those two who not only did they play at Georgia, but they also shared a receiver room with George Pickens once upon a time?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, both of those guys would be great gets, great pickups, I think, for almost any team. Ladd McConkey is – maybe a little bit of a bigger name, even though he spent a portion of this last year injured, came back and made a splash against Florida State. But yeah, Ladd, I think, was a guy who for a while was maybe, I guess you'd say, underrated just because I think largely because of his size, because he's a little bit smaller, a little bit more slight. I think would be a way to say it, but he's also extremely fast and he can just make defenders look silly. And, you know, maybe you wouldn't think that on first sight, I think has been the attitude about it. But when you watch him game in and game out, like I've been able to, he really, really can make defenders look silly sometimes. He's a guy who's just very quick, very agile, runs great routes. And then Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint, I actually did a story on him and his family and got to know his family a little bit. This is a guy who spent a portion of his career at Georgia injured, but then this last year, I think was pretty valuable for Georgia. We got to see a little bit less of him than maybe Ladd. Like, of the two, Ladd might be right. A bigger name, but I still think Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint is super talented, has great hands, and could really contribute at the next level.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if McConkey, you know, maybe slips into the late first round. I've even seen his name thrown out there, linked to the Chiefs and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, we know that Georgia receivers, their stats never really pop off the page. It was the same way with Pickens because of, you know, how dominant they are running the ball. And part of that is because of the O-line that they have every year down there. So, I mean, moving on to those guys, Amarius Mims is someone I've seen linked to the Steelers a lot. Not only would he reunite with Broderick Jones, but he'd probably allow Broderick to move back to his natural position of left tackle, because Mims is, what, 6'8", 340, right tackle with freakish athleticism for his size. What was his kind of deal? I know he was another guy who was hurt a lot last season, but, I mean, he was like five-star everything coming out of high school. I assume the Steelers and a lot of other teams are going to love his pedigree and the things you can't teach.
Yeah, for sure. And you make a really good point about receivers. I do think sometimes, with the exception of Brock Bowers, you know, a couple years, a tight end whose numbers.
Yeah, I guess the other thing about McConkey, he played with Bowers and Pickens, and, you know, so he's never really been like the number one guy, but clearly right. He can help.
Or like the only number one guy. That's right. The weird thing about Georgia is sometimes there's so much talent and there's so much depth at each skill position that you're still going to get the time to make the most of it, but you're not going to be the only guy who bulks up his stats throughout the season because there's so many guys to get touches and so much wealth to sort of spread around. But yeah, no, I think Amarius Mims is another guy like Brock, another guy who's coming back from tightrope ankle surgery. So he got hurt mid-season and Georgia had to sort of play some musical chairs on the offensive line to get through the rest of the season without him. And he's definitely a guy that was missed. Like you mentioned, great size, great skill. Everybody at Georgia really sings this guy's praises. And I know they missed him when he was out this season. He's another guy who I think would be a great get. I think he has the size and the pedigree to do great things at the next level.
And the biggest hole in the Steelers O-line, though, isn't right or left tackle. It's center. And Cedric Van Pran has been the man in the middle for Georgia for, I think, the past two seasons. It seems like he was just kind of the heart and soul of that group and that offense in a way, wasn't he, Sarah?
Far and away, far and away. I cannot say enough good things about Cedric. And that'll be a theme throughout our conversation, because obviously all of the guys that we're going to be discussing are guys who absolutely excelled at Georgia.
Yeah, they're at the combine for a reason. They're right. Projected as, you know, day one or day two picks in the draft for a reason.
Right. They're not just like showing up and seeing what happens. Cedric is a really unique guy. I'm going to start in a different direction, not exactly germane to football, but he's actually a brilliant artist.
Okay.
He can draw like nobody's business. He's a very smart guy. He's very unique. He's awesome to talk to. Like, he's a very, very just like thoughtful guy. And he's also been a mainstay for Georgia's offensive line. Like, he has been so huge. I think he's a big reason why Georgia has been able to have the continued success it has, genuinely, is because of that steady, reliable veteran presence of Cedric Van Pran. All the quarterbacks love him, love working with him, and I feel like broken record, but he's another guy who I think really would be a great get. He was so valuable for Georgia these past few seasons. I mean, Kirby Smart has talked about it a ton. Quarterbacks have talked about it a ton. Like, his experience at that position has made their life easier is what I've heard from them. So I think he's another guy who is going to be able to have success at that next level.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if he kind of, it seems like he's not often mentioned with the top one or two centers in this draft, but I just look at Georgia's offense the last couple of years and in there, you know, his level of experience. If you look at like the advanced metrics, I don't think he's allowed a sack and, you know, since he's been starting. So sure seems like he's very consistent and, you know, you're singing his praises for his leadership too, which is something that's always important at center. And the Steelers need to find that guy for the next 5 to 10 years, regardless of who their quarterback ends up being.
But, and that's so true. I'm sorry, Brian. That's so true. Like Georgia's quarterbacks, their jerseys largely stay clean. And that's another part of continued success. And he is a big part of that. So that's a good point.
Before we flip over to the other side of the ball, I was just curious, did people down there ever talk about moving Darnell Washington to tackle when he was at Georgia? Because like, I know he didn't catch the ball a lot there. He hasn't caught the ball a lot here in Pittsburgh either through his rookie season. It's just one of those like little kind of mini storylines that sometimes gets mentioned by like the diehard football people who are like, if they put 15, 20 pounds on him, he could be a tackle.
So at Georgia, it was a constant conversation. And Kirby Smart talked about it too, like, is there anything Darnell Washington can't do? Like in terms of his skills and size, he's another guy where it's just like, there are not many humans built like that. There are not many humans built like that who can also leapfrog the defense. Mm-hmm. I would love to see, it's so funny at Georgia, we got to see his blocking. You got to see his athletic ability. As far as moving him permanently, that was not as much of a conversation, but it was a constant topic of conversation, his versatility and how useful that is and how many ways he can multitask on the field. And he's just crazy to watch too. Like some of the plays that I watched that he pulled off, I was like, did that really just happen?
Yeah, the Steelers haven't really tapped into that yet, but you know, he's a guy who this time last year at the combine, you know, showed out and proved his athleticism. We'll see if he can still do that at the NFL level or if there will be, you know, continued rumblings and questions here in Pittsburgh about should the sixth lineman actually just be a fifth lineman. But we're going to take a really quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about some of the defensive guys from Georgia because we know how dominant the Bulldogs have been on the other side of the ball too.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, we are back again chatting with Sarah Spencer of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, former Post-Gazette college sports writer, and now covering the Bulldogs, the Braves, pretty much everything they ask her to do down there in the A. As far as the defensive guys, Sarah, how do you separate the two safeties who are in this draft from Georgia, Javon Bullard and Tyke Smith? Because to me, they seem to have a lot more similarities in their games than differences, but Bullard is usually projected as a better pro prospect. And, you know, some people, if they're from Pittsburgh, might take us to Tyke Smith was a West Virginia transfer who came down to Georgia and excelled.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we got to see a little bit more of Javon Bullard over the past few years, also play some safety. Honestly, both of those guys, I think, are going to have a bright future. I think they're both guys who can ball hawk and, you know, had some interceptions
Not the biggest guys, but it seems like they're always around the ball, and it seems like they're both very tough, gritty. They're not like your undersized corners who don't want to tackle anybody.
Right. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think they're both very like physical guys, but they're also guys who have a nose for the ball. And I think that's one of the things that helped Georgia's passing defense is their ability to kind of anticipate. So yeah, I mean, they've got differences for sure, but honestly, both of them gave Georgia a huge boost.
Is there anything we should know about this D lineman at the combine from Georgia? Because I'll be honest, he was not on my radar. This Zion Logue, he wasn't on my radar at all until I saw he got a combine invite. And then I started looking into him a little bit more. And I mean, it's obviously a tough year because Georgia lost, seemed like 50 D linemen into the draft last year because with Jordan Davis a couple years ago and then Nolan Smith. And they've just been so deep up front lately. This guy wasn't somebody I'd paid much attention to, but 6'5", 300 pounds. The Steelers are usually going to keep an eye on people like that because they really value massive dudes up front. And Zion Logue is a large human being for sure.
Yeah. Stop me if you've heard this before. Another guy with great size coming out of Georgia to the NFL. Yeah, you're right. There's been another topic of conversation among kind of Georgia faithful of like, you know, Georgia's defensive line turning over, but it's guys going to the NFL. It's guys going up to Pennsylvania.
And this guy was probably playing behind Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt and all those just, you know, beasts from the last couple seasons winning the national championship.
Yeah, all those like really, really big name guys. Yeah, for sure. Who helped Georgia win two straight titles. Zion Logue, though, is a guy who has a fair bit of experience at this point, has good size, and he's another guy who I think will have success at the next level. Again, you know, Georgia's defensive line had turnover and I think, you know, had to build back up just because there were so many guys like, you know, Jalen Carter who are now playing at the next level. I feel like because of that, maybe because of so many big names that have left over the last few years, you maybe haven't heard a name like Zion Logue as much. Just because maybe it wasn't until this past season that he would be on your radar, but he was a big piece of Georgia's defensive line this season. Good size, and you know, we'll see what he can do at the combine.
Yeah, Steelers fans, if you're you know, kind of digging deep for defensive line options in this draft, because the Steelers usually want a certain threshold of, you know, length and power and everything, maybe keep an eye on Logue in those later rounds if they don't take one early. Well, Sarah, before I let you go, I did want to ask you about Arthur Smith too. I know you filled in at times on Falcons coverage, and whether it was your experience doing that or just simply being in and around Atlanta the last 3 years, like what was your overall sense? What was your vibe of Smith? Did he really do a bad job as the head coach and play caller, or was it a situation maybe where fans kind of turned on him? And perhaps ownership just sort of ran out of patience because 3 seasons with a lot of high draft picks on offense, it just didn't quite materialize.
Yeah, I know. This is a tough one. There's a couple different ways to look at the situation with Arthur Smith. One of them being, I mean, obviously he was fired, you know, so some stuff went wrong. Yeah. There was always a little bit of criticism of, can we get the ball in our star players' hands more, was one like common thing that fans said. But another, I will say one thing about Smith, the past few years, really his whole time with the Falcons, it being an offensive coach, he didn't have one kind of like defense you can make for him is the quarterback situation in Atlanta has not been good. You know, especially, I mean, the past 2 years you had the situation with Marcus Mariota, and then this last year you had Desmond Ridder and a little bit of Taylor Heineke. And, you know, the situation with Desmond Ridder, who like is a great guy and like you want good things for him, but he really struggled with turnovers massively this past year. And, you know,
yeah,
even
some of those clips of Arthur Smith on the sideline, like looking like he just wanted to flip a table, basically. So
it was hard. It was tough. It was tough to watch some of the struggles that they had. So, I mean, obviously, you know, from my perspective, like, I want him to have success in Pittsburgh. We'll see what happens. I understand some of the skepticism, but I also wonder what he'll do with a fresh start and a different quarterback.
It seemed like he was well-liked down there by players, media, even like ownership. When I was watching like the presser, where basically the "we fired you" presser, and Arthur Blank and Rich McKay were like, couldn't say enough good things about him. So it didn't seem like it was a situation that got bad because of any sort of dysfunction or dislike of the guy at the top. It was more of just the schemes and the X's and O's didn't go right. And I don't know if that would make you feel better or worse as a Steelers fan with him coming in as offensive coordinator, but we will see.
We will see. Yeah. I'll be interested to see how it goes. Cause you're right. People really sang his praises, players sang his praises, and, you know, said they were sad to see him go. Ownership sang his praises. It really was just not enough wins. And, you know, the quarterback situation down here was dicey. So I'll be interested to see what he can do at his next stop for sure.
Well, could be dicey here for him. Steelers and for justice. A lot of people want, Russell Wilson to potentially come to Pittsburgh. And, you know, who knows what will happen with Kenny Pickett, but Arthur Smith he'll have his work cut out for him to try to get the Steelers offense back on track. Thanks so much for joining us, Sarah. Is there anything you wanted to leave us with? Final thoughts on Georgia, Arthur Smith, or Charlie Morton? Brave season in spring training is underway. So
Charlie Morton, big coffee guy. No, which will make sense if you watch my story. No, honestly, thanks for having me. It's really cool to talk a little bit of Pittsburgh. And I mean, honestly, I know I sounded like a broken record for a lot of this, but just so many of these Georgia guys, I really do think are going to have success at the next level. I think they're NFL talent. So my bad if I repeated myself a lot, but
no, I'm sure it's nice to be talking about Georgia players in the NFL draft and not with the backdrop of like character concerns the way that it was the last couple years with, you know, Jalen Carter. Obviously last year that was the big thing with him, and even from a Steelers perspective, Pickens a couple years ago. So at least it seems like a lot of these guys are, you know, program leaders who there's really no red flags as far as that goes beyond the talent. So
this is a pretty good group, I think. This is a pretty good group. So we'll see what they can do at the next level.
Well, thanks so much to Sarah Spencer from the Atlanta Journal Constitution. Thanks to you guys all for checking us out here again on Chipped Ham and Football from the Post Gazette's podcast network. I'm Brian Batko. I'm not out, but we've got Jerry Dulac, Ray Fittipaldo, Chris Carter all out there. And I bet, you know, Coach GM interviews will be starting any second now. So make sure to keep it locked to postgazette.com. And we'll have a bunch more videos coming out from there on the North Shore Drive. And it's about to thunder here in Pittsburgh and start raining. So enjoy that Atlanta weather, Sarah. Enjoy a brave season. And thanks again for coming on. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.